It's good to be together today. We begin this week called Holy Week. We begin with Palm Sunday and walk our way through. We'll have on Thursday evening here in the sanctuary, there will be a service of Holy Communion on Holy Thursday. Some traditions in the Christian family call it Maundy Thursday, but it's the Holy or the Maundy Thursday. And we'll have the communion. You're invited to come and be a part of that service. That's on 7 o'clock on Thursday. Next Easter, there'll be an early morning service out in the pavilion. It's not exactly sunrise. It's 7 o'clock, though, and there'll be... But there'll be a little breakfast following that the Methodist men are doing. So you can come early. If you come to that, bring a lawn chair, and we'll be in the pavilion and begin that Easter Sunday that way. So many wonderful meanings of this week. Many of you have had a habit, I know, of giving a special gift during this Lenten or Easter season. There are these offering envelopes. We're using this for mission offering. It all goes to several mission efforts in our community and beyond. So if that's something you do, I invite you to do that. Well, let's hear the scripture that is the text. But before we make our gifts, I'd like you to hear the sort of theme for the day. It comes from John. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It's good to be together today to praise God and to open our lives to God's Spirit. That Spirit that will always consent to be with us when we consent to be with God. And so worship is where we set aside time to do that and to be God's people, which is what we are all the time. In a moment, I'll lead us in a prayer. There will be a time in the prayer for you to name a name or say a concern or raise a concern or a joy. Joys are acceptable too, as well as hard things. And then we'll conclude with the Lord's Prayer, which will be on the screens. We want to remember a couple of families. The Hunter family, Jeff Hunter's father, died. Services have not been arranged. They'll be done through Berry Hill later in the week. Also want to remember the family of Johnny Clendenin and Victoria Clendenin Hudson and the death of her dad, L.C. The visitation is tonight, 5 to 7 at Berry Hill, and then funeral will be tomorrow at 11. Oh, let's go to God in prayer. Lord of mercies, you whose strength and mercy are combined in ways we can scarcely comprehend, we praise you for your infinite creativity, for the gift of the rain that washes the earth, nourishes it. We give thanks for the beauty of blooming things in our midst. It speaks to us how you are on the side of life. You are for new beginnings. We pray today for those for whom life is tough, for those whose work is a burden to them and hard. We pray for those who look for work but find no work. We pray for those whose work is not recognized or rewarded fairly. Lord, we pray for those who sit in chairs in hospital rooms with those they love, and we pray for those in the beds who face treatments and who live with pain. We pray for those for whom family is painful. Give your peace and give your patience and give your help. We pray for all who stand in the presence of grief. For those who listen for the voices of those they no longer can see or hear. May they see beyond this life to your life that gives us life beyond this plane of earth. We pray for all who serve in difficult places, for those who serve their nation far from home. We pray for all who are caught up in war or violence or injustice or tyranny across this creation. Use your people, use us, all people of goodwill, to bring your peace. Lord, hear the prayers your people offer now. Lord, you who hear prayers, hear our prayers and the prayers of all your people across all creation on this day, all who love you and all who serve you. We remember Jesus as he taught us to pray and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, the last week of Jesus' life on earth begins with this Palm Sunday, we call it. With the crowds welcoming him, waving the branches, putting their garments on the road. They're hoping something new is about to happen. And then for several days, Jesus teaches. He teaches in the temple, and people hear him Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then on Thursday evening, he gathers for a Passover meal with his disciples. They would have eaten a part of one of the lambs that was sacrificed in the temple. It was a festival of freedom, remembering how God had delivered the people in the Exodus long ago and how he would do it again. And so he gathers on Thursday night. He has the final meal. He washes the disciples' feet. And they go to pray in the garden. And he's arrested. He's betrayed by one of his own. The disciples leave him. His chief one, Simon Peter, will deny him. He's put on trial twice, really. There's a trial before the religious leaders. And then there's a trial before the Pontius Pilate, the political leader. He's sentenced to death. He's beaten severely. And then he's given a cross and led out to be crucified. Something happens along the way that Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell. In the 23rd chapter of Luke, just two little verses, but they tell a whole story. As they led Jesus away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of the people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord of life, open our hearts to Your way, Your Spirit. Give us the courage to follow. Amen. A while back, I was in one of the craft stores, you know, kind of one of the hobby places, the big sort of big box. I can't remember what I'd gone there for. But what I do remember was finding myself on the cross aisle. There was an aisle there in the store, sort of floor, you know, at about 8 feet up, just nothing but crosses for sale. There were crosses for your garden. There were crosses you could put on the wall in your house. There were crosses you could put on your desk at the office. All these crosses. Well, I guess my cynicism was working that day, and I thought, isn't that amazing? We can commercialize anything, you know. And so these people, probably in China, are making these crosses and sending them to America for us affluent Christians to buy them. And they're crosses of all materials, you know, metal, wood, plastic, all of them. And as I say, my cynicism was working, but the Lord is working with me on my cynicism. I'm in recovery for cynicism. You know, people who are cynical, we always see the hypocrisy of other people. We don't see our own. So the Lord's working, and I kind of began to rethink that. And it occurs to me, you know, maybe it's a good thing, a very good thing, that there are a lot of crosses around. Maybe we need more crosses around. Crosses in our gardens, crosses on the top of our church buildings, crosses on the walls, crosses on our rings or around our neck. Because the cross tells it all. I mean, the cross tells us, it says all that needs to be said. This cross, that cross, you know, the crosses tell us how it is. They tell us how it is with us. You know, the people, there were two groups of people that helped send Jesus to the cross. The first group, we must never forget, were religious people. Remember that. We say, yeah, it was a group of Jews back then, the Jewish leaders, but those people had no exclusive patent on what happened. Those people were Jewish, but Christians have done it and continue to do it, and I suppose Muslims and I guess Buddhists and Sikhs and Aztecs and Hindus do it. And here's what we do. Humans take religion, which is about worshiping God, and what we do is, instead of serving God, we turn it to serve our little fears, to support our little prejudices. We use our religion to support our narrowness of spirit. And all religions do that. They don't mean to. But the cross is a reminder of what in our sin we do with a good thing, religion, about how we twist it. It's also a reminder of how it happens with the powerful and the weak in our communities. It happened in that time. It happened in our time. Pontius Pilate was sent to preserve the law and keep the peace and, I presume, prosperity in that community. Three times, Pontius Pilate, the governor, after he tries Jesus, he said, I don't find anything that he has done worthy of him being killed. Three times he says that. He's innocent. So what does he do? He crucifies him. It's a story of what the powerful do to the weak. The cross reminds us that so often might makes right. And what Pilate does is he abdicates his responsibility. He caves in. He becomes a coward. He saves his skin. He looks out for number one. And rather than do the right thing, he gives in. You know, the cross, it reveals all that about us. And it's not just them back then. It's us. Those people in the Bible have no exclusive patent on doing that stuff. And the cross just shows us how it is with us. If it shows us how it is with us, it also, though, it shows us how it is with God. We believe in the church that we're Trinitarian. We believe in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're three in one. You deal with one, you're dealing with the other. So we believe in Christ, in Jesus. We're dealing with God, the Word made flesh. And so Jesus on the cross teaches us what God does with human sin and human selfishness and human cowardice. What God does is God suffers it. Our God is not aloof and distant and far away. Our God doesn't just stand far off and observe the evil that people do and the hurt that people do. No. Our God climbs into this world. Our God identifies with the victims of human sin. People who are bullied by religious people or political leaders, God identifies with them. God suffers with the ones who have been bullied, the people hurt and despised. This cross shows us God's long-suffering love. But it shows us not just God's nature of love, it also shows us God's strategy. And God's strategy, shown in Christ, is one that takes away the sin of the world by enduring it. By enduring it. By soaking it up. By absorbing it. When the world throws violence and domination and attacking to God, what does God do? What you or I do, we're going to put up our fists. Or we're going to shield ourselves. We're going to protect ourselves. But what does God do? He becomes completely vulnerable. His arms are stretched out. His head is turned back. And in that cross, we see God completely vulnerable. That's His strategy. That is God's astonishing, amazing strategy that we would never have thought of. It's a mystery to us. But God saves us from sin, defeats sin in the world by becoming vulnerable to it. Astonishing. The cross shows us God's nature and God's strategy. But it shows us one more thing. If it shows us how it is with us in our sin, if it shows us how it is with God in His love, it shows us the way forward. It shows us how we are to live. You know, sometimes the Christians speak, not incorrectly, about how Jesus on the cross is a transaction. A price is paid. A sacrifice is made that somehow saves us. And gives us heaven. That's a good Christian way of talking. But that's not all of the story, because Jesus has these peculiar things to say about the cross. The first is, more than once in the Gospels, He says, "Take up your cross and follow Me." In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says, "Pray for your daily bread." And He uses the word daily also to refer to taking up your cross. You see, what the cross shows us is not just what God did for us, the transaction, it shows us the power of transformation. It's not just something that Jesus did to change God's mind. It's something that's done to change us. And Jesus says, take up your cross and follow. What that means is that when we're cursed, Jesus challenged us to bless. And when we're hated, Jesus challenged us to love. And when violence is done to us, Jesus challenges us to respond in peace. And when revenge is what we feel like ought to be done, Jesus, with His words on the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He challenges us to forgive. He invites us to do what Jesus did, to take up our cross and to follow. Those two little verses that we might miss about Simon. Simon is this character who only gets two verses in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He has come from Cyrene, which would be modern-day Libya. He has come all the way from North Africa to Jerusalem for the Passover. Simon has come with his children, Alexander and Rufus, we later learn their names are. He has come to be in Jerusalem at Passover time, that festival of freedom. They'll look at the temple, they'll hear the great choirs, and at some point they'll eat the Passover meal. And the lambs will be slaughtered. And they'll eat of that, and they'll remember how God set them free once and how God will do it again. Simon is there on by the side of the road when Jesus is led out on his way to Golgotha, Calvary. Jesus has been beaten so badly, he can't carry his own cross. And so the Roman soldiers impress, conscript Simon, this out-of-towner who just happened to be there at the festival to carry his cross. There it is. Jesus has said, take up your cross and follow me. And here's one that does it, Simon. Simon is the first one to do what Jesus said to do. And he becomes an icon for the Christian life, for the one who seeks to follow in Jesus' way. We say he's the way. He's the truth. Everybody else says the way and the truth is might makes right. You know, return violence with violence, revenge. But Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm the truth. If you want life, follow my way. And he does it. Well, next Sunday is Easter. Out on the front lawn of the church, and in and around the church, there'll be a cross. An old kind of rugged wooden cross. An ugly thing. But you know, this cross that reveals everything is ugly, but it's beautiful. And so what we're going to do when we come next Sunday, we're going to emphasize the beautiful. So I invite you, whatever age you are, bring a flower, bring a piece of greenery, and we're going to proclaim to the world when everybody drives by this church something that's ugly is also beautiful. We're going to fill it with things of beauty. That's how it is. Oh, this cross, it just tells it all. It shows it all. It tells us how it is with us. It tells us how it is with God. And it tells us how we go from here. That's the good news for this day. That's the good news for every day. Christ in us. Us in Christ. Following Jesus. Let us pray. Lord of life, God of mercy, Our mind can scarcely comprehend your ways. They're so far from our ways, and yet we sense in you that you'll show us a way forward. Lord, by your Spirit, help us to love and to serve and to forgive and to follow Jesus in all things. Amen. Would you stand for a blessing? Now go forth into this week we call Holy Week. Ponder the holiness of God, the goodness of God, the long-suffering way of God. Meditate on the meaning of Jesus in our life and in our world. Go with people who understand how it is with us and how it is with God, and go as people of hope as we wait for the Easter joy and promise of new life. Go in the name of the one who loves us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Go in peace.